that we are doing things in that manner, and just kind of cultivating that digital presence, also trying to make sure that people know who we are and know what an impact that New York State Women has had on New York State as a whole. I think that's been really positive, and just watching that happen. And I would say the only criticisms I have for BNC, which is never, New York State Women as a whole, is that I think there could be a little bit more advocacy. I think that we could get a little bit more involved. I know that we're not politically right or left, and I know that there's no political affiliation with New York State Women Incorporated, but just being an advocate for different things, like celebrating Women's History Month as a whole and doing something that can bring all the chapters and all the regions together, that we can do something like that and then bring it in the community as well. And doing things that are more, you know, centric to, you know, supporting women-owned businesses and women-owned nonprofits, just doing more of that advocacy, because I know that it is such a big part of our mission statement, but I don't feel that we really have been, I really don't feel that we've completely kept that promise in being advocates.
It's nice to hear that, because we used to be much more active. We've lost that in the last couple of years, but so it's nice to hear that you know, you would like to see that.
Yeah, I would love to see that a little bit more. Like, one of the things that I tried to do with being president-elect, I was trying to implement more of, you know, getting people to go to different women-owned businesses there, or even our members there, like races, like the 5Ks. I took it upon myself to do at least one of them. But it's just getting that, and of course, everyone has a lot of things to do. There's people are busy, but I think we just need to kind of get back to why, you know, New York State Women was founded in the first place, and getting back to that and making it more about advocacy, making more about, you know, professional networking, but also, you know, being like a big family, because that's what we are. There's so much that I can honestly say that I have made so many friends, like and those people that I've made friends with, they didn't mind it that I was only 24 or 22 when I joined. Like, there, and that to me was so valuable, because being a young professional and being told that you can do this, we believe in you, was the most important thing, because that's not the support that I got when I first graduated out of college from other, you know, sources. It was sit down, shut up. You are only worth entry level. And it's like, it's just amazing, like, how much support I got out of it. And for those that don't know, I own my own business. I have my own business that I've had for almost 3 years now, because of New York State Women, because I was supported so well in just mentorship from the women in BNC that gave me that opportunity to do that. But I can't say that people my age get that support that often. But just having, you know, I want you all to think about why you joined in the first place. Why did you join in the first place? What was your motivator? Because I know that once we get comfortable, it starts to get stagnant. So shaking it up a little bit may not be the worst thing.
Very good. All right.
Hopefully you answered your question.
No, you did. That's great. Thanks.
One thing I wanted to talk about too, because it was brought up as one of our key points with strategic planning, is the PPD programs. Mm-hmm. You know, what are your thoughts on those? You know, are they something that's going to attract a younger audience, or are they kind of outdated at this point? Like, what are your thoughts on those programs?
I think that if it's executed correctly and executed in a way that's attractive to a younger audience, it'll be helpful. But I want you all to think, consider this too, how much knowledge and how much wisdom that you guys have in just being part of this organization. I don't know how many years, I mean, I walk into a room and some of the members that are in BNC are, have been there for 30 years. You know, it's depending on where you're at in the organization, there's so much knowledge to be shared. And I know that sometimes it can feel like the young people aren't listening, but we're looking for guidance just as much as you guys are wanting to give guidance. So as long as you want to give guidance, then we are willing to listen.
Stephanie, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How do you feel about the competitions at state conference? Are they worthy, or should we look more in training? What do you think we should do to attract?
Well, when you say people? When you say contests, what do you mean?
Competitions.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That kind of answers it right there, though.
Right, because
I did go to the state conference the first year that when I was the intern, I did go to the state conference.
I don't think we had any at that.
Okay.
I don't think we had one at that.
That was the only time I went to the state conference. I think if there was more, you know, more programming involved with, if we did like have that kind of, I know it sounds kind of silly, but doing the kind of speed networking mentorship and, you know, or assigning, if you sign up for the conference, you're assigned, like new members are assigned with veteran members that can mentor those younger, or not necessarily younger, but newer members in the group and have that mentorship aspect. And I want you to understand this too. You don't have to just focus on generational mentorship. We could even do mentorship depending on veteran members and new members, because everyone's on a different path. Some people could just be starting their own company. Some people could just be going to college. Some people could just be, you know, approaching a time that is different than their, everyone's timeline is different. Not everyone is doing the same thing. So having that available and doing that mentorship, I think would be really beneficial. Instead of doing a quote unquote competition, we could just outline it as a way to, and that would be, I think, more attractive than doing that way if you're not as involved, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's just people who just go to the meetings and aren't really involved on a board level or on a state level, that might attract them to go, or doing some sort of like doing something fun in between, like doing like a spa day or like a pool day or something like that, just to kind of get people to know the people that they're with. And then if you are assigned a mentor as a newer member, you can then be introduced to other veteran members, and that's kind of how it could work, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I belong to an organization that does conferencing mentorship during a 3-day conference, and people sign up that want to be mentors, and people sign up that want to be mentored. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the highlight experiences, and most usually those mentors maintain a relationship with the person that they met at the conference that they were helping. And it could be just sitting down and brainstorming ideas that came out of a session together, or working on personal things that have come up that they haven't had a chance to ask somebody during the conference about. But it's been such a popular thing that we have done it for, I don't know, I would say I can think at least 15 years we've done a mentorship program at the annual conference.
I think they'd be awesome. And even if we did it, I know that like a really good central area is the Finger Lakes doing a wine tour with our mentors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's doing something fun just so people can get to know each other, and we can talk to people from, you know, different walks of life, depending, everyone has a story. No matter if you're 20 or 80, you have a story to tell. And it really, it depends on just how we look at it. And that's what I urge you to do, and I encourage you to do, just look at the possibility of, like, think back to when you were my age, how completely lost or completely not lost you felt, depending,
Which is, what is your age again?
I'm 24.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's my favorite age.
It's a great age, but then again, my story is much different from my friends. I have gone through a lot more than someone at 24 should go through, or I shouldn't say should go through, but has gone through. I just lost my mother. I lost 4 family members in the past 2 years, and I've built a business through all of that. That's a story that's different from a lot of 24-year-olds. I know that even mm-hmm. some 24-year-olds are just being out of grad school, or they're still in school. That's what I want you to focus on, the individuality of it all. And we really need to stop like clumping generations into one generalized packet. It's not young people that you need, it's different people. And diversification in a way that's not just focused on a certain, you know, background, but a diversification in a way that we are emphasizing individuality.
Annie, could I ask you to brief the people that were not on Thursday? I know it was on the agenda, but just quickly address the mission and the vision, and then this goes right to PPD, which is fine, but brief them on what was done Thursday.
Okay, so when we met on Thursday, we kind of like threw some ideas around and some words, and they came up with the new mission statement to be connecting women personally, professionally, and politically, and ending it there. And the vision to be simply empowering women to make a difference. So that's what we came up with on the Zoom on Thursday. And I think they're pretty solid. And that was our thing, is that we were looking to just run those past the ones that are here tonight that weren't here on Thursday. And then we're looking to be on the agenda at, well, it's not really conference, it's June board meeting, as new business to bring it to the membership that way. And then bring it to the board for voting and at a fall board.
May I ask a question about
doing a special committee meeting immediately following fall board to vote it in? They said that's how we had to do it.
Patty, can I ask a question about that though?
Sure.
You feel that saying connecting women personally, professionally, and politically is much different than empowering women personally, professionally, and politically?
Well, currently it says to build women.
Yeah.
Personally, professionally, and politically. And I guess everybody came up with the thought that connecting was a better word, because that's really what we do. We're mm-hmm. connecting women, and what, like you said, and I am the PPD chair mm-hmm. this year. So, you know, and I wanted to institute something in the PPD program that to get seasoned members to share their stories of how they came to New York State Women and what made them stay, and how being a member for 20, 30 years has impacted them.
Yeah.
And of course it never came to fruition because this has been a crazy year, but
yeah, of course.
You know, we are in the process of rewriting the strategic plan, and PPD is a big part of that. But I agree with you as far as that we really need to focus on all three of the P's, not just one out of the three. Mm-hmm. We really need to focus on all three. And I mm-hmm. think having seasoned members either mentoring at conference or at board meetings or sharing their stories would be the personal piece, because it's mm-hmm. personal to them of what New York State Women has done for them.
Yeah.
And then professionally is the whole PPD program, which I know we've discussed this previously at these meetings, and it kind of needs a lot more discussion, but I think that we need to do away with the competition piece of it. I think it needs to be more loose, so to speak. I think
unified.
You know, because I'm a PPD competition winner from 2018. Nobody went against me, so it was kind of easy to win. But anyway, you know, but it was very stressful, and I really didn't want to do it, but then I was coerced into doing it because I'm from Region 6, and Region 6 is very powerful. They're very supportive. It's a very supportive region, and you know, so I did it, but there were so many constraints. Like, you couldn't go over 5 minutes. You couldn't be this many seconds early or this many seconds late, or you lost points. It was very, very stressful. You know, I don't know how many times I practiced it, you know, and but I just think that we need to make it, because I think it's a really good program for people to share their stories and find their voice, because that's what happened. That's how I found my voice. I never used to talk to people. I don't really like people for the most part, until I found my voice through New York State Women. So, but I really think that the PPD program needs to be completely redone. But I really believe that we need to incorporate all three P's, including
political.
Because I was a big advocate last year. Huh?
Can I chime in?
Sure.
We're talking about PPD here. But with strategic planning, I think we need to get the mission, the vision, and the organizational structure before we can even do anything about PPD.
I agree.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. So we got the mission and the vision, so we need to move on to structure.
Mm-hmm. Action.
You know, and we did start discussing that at our earlier sessions with I believe it was Jackie Shellman, Neil, and myself. And we kind of came around to the fact that, like, I would like to know your opinion, Stephanie, on the structure of the organization, the three layers. You know, because you have your state, and you have your regions, and then you have your chapters. And I guess, you know, when I wasn't a member when they were a much bigger organization.
Yeah.
I just feel that.
Sorry, my dog is just clicking.
I think it's too many meetings, or too many people don't want to be officers, so to speak, or, you know. So I mean, you got to have chapter officers, you got to have region officers, and then you have state officers.
Yeah.
And it's all the same people doing all of the stuff at all of the levels.
Yeah.
You know, like this year, for instance, I'm vice president of my chapter. I'm assistant ARD of Region 6, and I'm the chair of three things at the state level. So, you know,
I guess
not that I mind, but I'm just thinking that maybe if we can, I think we need a liaison between the chapters and the state, but I don't think we need a full, like, region officer slate.
Yeah.
And regional meetings and regional treasurers and bank accounts. And maybe we just need one person.
Why do you think we need a person?
I'm wondering.
Maybe if we have just one person from per region that is the liaison for the, and they only deal with chapter officers.
Why do you think we even need that? I don't think we even need that level.
I'm just wondering, like, from the experience that I had when I was doing the internship, we didn't get a lot of response for half of our region, just Region 8.
Exactly.
We didn't get a lot of response, like, just in general. So I think that having the chapter level, then the state level, might just be exactly what we need. And then those people on the state level, each president on the state level maybe has a responsibility to report to the board on the state level. Maybe that could be the solution to that, and we just could do away with the regions altogether, because if one region has, you know, five active chapters that are, you know, growing. But then another region has chapters that don't really care much to grow or care much to really do any kind of improvement, then we're not on a united front.
Right. Like in region six, we have pretty strong chapters individually, you know, but, and a lot of us come together. We have a strong showing at state conferences.
Yeah.
Because region six is where it clicks, as they say. And, you know, we go for all the awards. So,
but here's the thing. Why are we
don't have any showmanship at our region meetings.
Yeah.
Like the only time people go to the region meetings is if they're the ones that are hosting it. Mm-hmm. Other than that, they don't attend unless they're an officer. So it's like, yeah, it's a waste of time and it's a waste of money and energy. And then you got to try to find people that are willing to be officers, and that leads another hole, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like if we, if we're not united on a statewide front, then how are we going to move forward?
Right. And I'm thinking maybe if we get rid of the region level, you know, we'll get more involvement in the state level because people aren't going to be inundated with all these meetings.
Yeah. I just think it's because it's a organization that is obviously volunteer. There has to be not so much of a push, but a passion to want to be an officer. Mm-hmm. There's a passion there to want to be an officer because you are part of something bigger. And that's what I was talking about the advocacy and how important it is for us to get involved again in our communities. Because without the community presence and without being supportive of our communities just individually, we're not going to be able to grow. Because there's no passion in it. It just becomes, you know, a dinner club at that point, which is kind of, it's a hard truth, but it's something that we need to change if we are going to be able to move forward, you know?
Right, which is what I did at Tri-County last year.
We just have to do that for all the chapters. We have to get to that point for all the chapters, but if the state isn't on a united front, then those implications, and I think that's the word I'm trying to say, aren't going to be able to trickle down to the chapter level, and if we still have the regions, not even the region level.
Stephanie, do you think people's time in the chapters then would be more well spent diversifying themselves within the community and making themselves better known there than trying to be used as a stepping stone for leadership to the state?
I think that it would be useful to us, for us to, you know, show up in our communities a little bit better. I mean, I can't speak for any other chapter. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that there is a fair number of people that are very involved in the BNC chapter in the community. And I'm not saying that on an individual level, though, not as BNC. On an individual level, there are a lot of people involved in the community. Now, if we were able to come together as BNC and do things within the community, then we could have that more of that presence outside of just our chapter. Because I say, oh, I'm president of New York State Women Incorporated's BNC chapter. They're like, what's that? And it surprises me because of the fact that the organization has been around for how many years? Like, there, why
101?
Why don't people know about it? What are we doing that isn't, you know, giving them a reason to know about us? If that makes sense.
Right. Yep. Which has been my push with Tri-County this year, is to incorporate professional women in our community to get our name out there, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've also, I got involved this year and I'm a race director for a 5K. And now we've formed a 501c3 and I'm the executive director. And now two of my board members have joined Tri-County. And we also got two other members from just getting our name out there and making it aware of what we do by inviting these other people to our meetings. And then we wrapped it all up with our holiday dinner where we invited back all of our speakers from the whole year as our guests to our holiday dinner. And then we all sat around the table. There was like 20 of us and just discussed all kinds of issues. But it got everybody meeting everybody else throughout the course of the year. And it was really a great thing. So
what if we made it maybe a mission for us to have 3 community events a year or be involved in 3 community events a year? So we can and focus less on membership and focus more on the mission of what we're trying to do as an organization.
And we could find something that we're advocating for, something that through advocacy, they usually do some sort of events, marches or, you know, rallies or, you know, this, that, or the other thing about important advocacy things in New York State. So maybe we do a statewide community event around an advocacy
thing. Yeah. Even doing something at the state fair, like we have been doing, I know that there have been events through the state fair with New York State Women Incorporated. But from what I heard, it's just kind of like a small ceremony. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I've just never been to it. But what exactly do we do at the state fair? Is it just a small like gathering, or is there like something bigger than that? Like,
well,
do we
it's a program in the morning, and then there's a luncheon. But it's not just us; it's a bunch of women organizations from around the state.
Got it.
There were about 300 people at the luncheon this year when we went. Jackie spoke representing our organization, so she may have a different lookout at it. It was my first time going. I had a wonderful time.
I've been before, and New York State Women has provided a cake as a dessert. Or am I unmuted? Yeah.
Yep.
We've provided the cake for the dessert for the luncheon. This year we provided the donuts and coffee at the beginning. They usually have some kind of a program, and then they have the lunch where there's a speaker. And this year, Stephanie, because in 2019, there were 3 organizations celebrating their 100th anniversary. Zata, League of Women Voters, and ourselves. And I spoke on behalf of New York State Women. And how many were there? 300, like you said? Not everybody. Yeah. There weren't that many at the speaking event. But there were for the luncheon. We do have, and we've gotten away from it, in October, there's National Business Women's Week. And I don't know if we can use that terminology. It used to be with the BPW organization, but some week in October, locals would do something in their community. Is that the year that Sue Mager and Linda, you went racing around in your car with signs and the police chased you?
No, actually, that was under Neil Steininger's tutelage, and we drove the car around Niagara Square on April 15th, which was Pay Equity Day, and we did get pulled over, and I got a hefty ticket.
Yeah, I remember.
That was it. But back to the state fair, it mostly involves us giving a monetary amount for something, and then we're allowed to put our brochures on the table, mentioned in the programs and that. And I don't know this year, because I couldn't go, did they have the vendor area in the center? And I don't know if we had a table there or not, but other years we had a table there.
You mean in the court outside?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it was pouring rain.
So that's a terrible day.
Number two, there wasn't anything out there. And I did ask Pat Ferguson about that. And I don't know if they do it anymore. I don't know.
I thought that we haven't done it in at least 2 years, I think. Yeah,
I don't know that they do
but
it.
But back anymore. Then we had an informational table.
Yeah, okay. We were able to have our brochures on the table as people entered the morning program.
Yeah.
Well, I think the other reason why we stopped doing it is it wasn't really our audience for really getting new members, because people were there with families. I mean, it really wasn't a member getting thing. So I think it was more, we thought we had to do something on local areas. So whether it was going to the fairs at local areas or going to other events that were going on, but something locally for each chapter in their community, as generally the state fair was just too big of.
Yeah, but it was a women's day at the state, you know, and women, there weren't really many families there. I mean, there were women with their daughters to show them what was going on. My daughter was impressed. She didn't know it was going to be that big a deal.
That's why we, that's the other point that I'd like to make. And if you guys don't mind me making this point, I think we need to do a better job at not only documenting what we're doing, but also putting it out there, what we're doing, and being a little bit more, not just necessarily just doing it for ourselves, but just doing it so we can show what we're doing and the impact that it does have on our community, because that's going to really help us grow a little bit more. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I know that, I mean, I'm sure that at the beginning, like, how did people get involved in the first place? Was it just word of mouth, or were we doing things that were, you know, in the community or through newspaper? What were we doing before, and why has that stopped?
Well, like I was saying, there was at least one thing in the community was National Business Women's Week. Mm-hmm. Chapters would have events to highlight the work, the professional women, the working woman. They would go to a store when they used to have storefronts, and they would, you know, they could decorate it to, you know, it could be a stationery store, which we don't have now, and they would, you know, decorate it to focus mm-hmm. on working women.
Well, I mean, there's still plenty of storefronts out there that are women-owned businesses. I know at least five off the top of my head.
Well, and even if they're vacant stores, they could still be potentially decorated the window. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we, BPW, had our political action arm, and that was more active. The political end of our empowerment was more active than it is now. And so, so as far as, wow, how did people join back then? Was it word of mouth? That's how I joined. I was asked to join by a member.
So why? I want to go back to national. I want to go back to National Business Women's Week in October. When we formed New York State Women Inc., mm-hmm. I led the path, and I developed the whole month of October as New York State Women in Business.
Yeah.
And it fell by the wayside. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my responsibility to carry it on for 10 years. But it was out there, and
it's still there. Out there now, just nobody does it.
Yeah. It is out there. Thank you, Renee.
Maybe that's what it is then. Then we just have to, you know, get that passion back and, you know, continue to implement things instead of letting them fall by the wayside. Maybe that's what we have to do.
Because can I ask you one question? Well,
sure.
I want to ask you a question, and then I want to, like, make a point. One, would you be interested in joining this committee and helping to write the new strategic plan?
I think that's something that we have to discuss later, just because of, I will be honest, I have had quite the year. I mean, not just with Corona. My grandfather is in hospice right now because of Corona, and just personally on a level, I know that I can be honest with all of you, I am not in the position to take on anything right now.
Understood.
Just mentally, just because I'm just going through a very long stage of grief. My mother passed away from cancer at the end of March, and I was one of her primary caregivers. So I'm trying to get back my,
understood,
you know, my two cents. And, you know, if I was in a different place, I would say 100% yes. I would be definitely here for it. And I want to say yes so bad, but I know that if I take on one more thing, it's not going to be good for my mental health. And I need to set those boundaries for myself, but I'm here for any questions. I'm here to, you know, like, help on that side. I just can't commit to being on a committee right now.
I appreciate
as much
that.
As I'd like to.
Stephanie, if I just mm-hmm. might interject a little bit there? Just sure, so that just... you know, these things go on for years.
Yeah.
So, and we've all been, well, we haven't been where you are. I mean, that's, you know, above and beyond. But hopefully you will be in a better place in another year or so.
And yeah, I'm hoping
to. Still going to be talking about the same stuff.
So, oh, I know.
We hope that you'll consider joining them.
I definitely will consider joining in the future. Just right now, I have lost two close people in my life in the last 6 months, and to be losing him as well has been very difficult. And, you know, I've learned that I need to be honest about where I'm at, because I don't want to commit to something and let people down. I mean, my BNC members understand and know exactly where I'm at right now. I know Sue and Renee, like, you guys know exactly where I'm at. And I've been very honest with everyone, because it's not fair for me to say that I'm good to do something if I'm not. You know, it's not.
Yeah, but I really appreciate your honesty, and, you know, we're here for you. So,
thank you. I really appreciate that. I know that I have a huge community that I can reach out to, and I'm doing okay. My business is doing well, and, you know, I'm just trying to take care of myself where I can. I just need to learn when to take a back seat to some things.
Learn that early. Don't wait so long.
Can I? What did
you say?
I said learn that early. I got into a huge mess, and I'm glad I'm out of it.
Yeah.
I piggyback on something.
I have to chime in here too, Neil and Patty. This can't go on for years. We do not have the ability to let this go on for years. Okay. That said, we need to really crunch this and get something out in 2020.
Okay. No, I'm with you, Sue.
I'm 100% confident that we can do that. 100%. We just have to find the passion again.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. It comes down to that. Where I urge everyone to think about it that way. Where did you start? Why are you still here? And where can we go from here?
Speaking of passion.
Something.
I'm sorry.
She's got her hand raised over there in the corner. Go ahead, Shirley.
So, no, I was just trying to get us back, because we're almost on an hour, so I was just trying to get us back.
Sorry.
So my question, my statement or question is to Stephanie's suggestion that we do more in the community as a group, right? So if part of our strategic plan is to now give us an old but new mission of 3 to 4 events a year, so we already know that March is Women in History Month.
Mm-hmm.
We already know that February, and I suggested this, that it is Black History Month, and we should be acknowledging women in the community so that we get more diversity of age, interest, nationality, all that other stuff.
Yes.
And we have October as as Women in Business Month. So that is technically 3 months right there. And then June, once we get back in schedule, all the new officers go into place. So technically we have 4 events a month that we can be responsible for as a complete organization. And we're doing it in different weeks so we can support and shout each other out in those months.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe really one of those months we do a statewide event. Like, most of our chapters used to do, like, you know, celebrating women. You know, we were going to do one in May this year. Now I'm not sure when we're doing it this year.
Yeah.
But maybe we could do it as a statewide organization, do an event in the middle of the state somewhere, you know, and just celebrate, you know, pick certain women from around the state, you know, and celebrate women as a statewide community event.
The biggest,
maybe if we did,
is the travel. Because not everybody has the financial means to come to these conferences, come to the middle of the state and stay overnight and stuff. So, I mean, that's the hard part with that, is you really start excluding people that can't do that travel.
Can I ask a question about allocating funds to that?
Sure.
So, depending on each chapter's budget, is there a way that we could allocate a certain dollar amount to a certain number of members for each event?
What I suggested in the past, that, you know, at the chapter level, and or, you know, the state level. If we revisit everything, you know, and we take out the PPD competition, we could funnel those funds into maybe sponsoring a person from, you know, a couple of different areas to come to conference or whatever the event may be.
Or we could sponsor like two newer members from each chapter, right, that maybe the ones that are just coming out of college. Because of course, like I can imagine that I know there on every level there's people that may not be able to afford to go, but specifically if we want that younger audience, if we chose a certain, like either college students or students that are coming right out of college, maybe sponsor them to go to the state level and be able to do that. And maybe doing it somewhere like the Finger Lakes, where I think it might be a little bit more fun driven depending on what we wanted to do. We could do like a wine tour day, but also have like speakers in between that. I mean, I'm spitballing. So I don't know like what we can or can't do, but this is just like what I'm trying to think. If we can sponsor like one or two people from each chapter to go and then allocate like, I don't know, someone's like $25 for whatever, like a couple meals or something while people are out there. If that would help people, then I would be willing to do it personally.
Back in the day when I first joined 21 years ago, I was sponsored by my chapter and they paid for our stay and our event. But that's when our membership was, you know, one of the largest. So that's when we had a huge amount of membership.
Now,
go ahead.
Was that just for you or was it for like more than just you or was it for everyone who went?
So three people. And yeah, anyone from our executive board, you know, our chapters wanted to go, then that was in the budget as well. And they would, because typically it was only two that would ever go anyway, so they pay for one more member. Since I was a member, green and stupid, they sent me up there.
Shirley, I want to chime in here too. I want to chime in. On a state level, Stephanie, the amount of money for PPD is going to be so minimal, it does have to fall on the chapters.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I'm saying that just being in the position I'm in right now, I know that there's money that we could allocate. I mean, whether or not we're allocating it to a scholarship or allocating it to, you know, the state functions, that wouldn't be the worst decision that we've made. I mean, if people are willing to just like move things around a little bit or just to support those one or two people, and then whoever else wants to go can go and pay for themselves. But just so that we have some representation and people apply to be one of the two people that goes, or we can have like a nominating committee that nominates two people to go. It just really depends on each chapter's what they want to do, but we have to implement that at the state level first before we kind of put that on the chapters. And each chapter is different. I don't know how many chapters raise money. I mean, does anyone know that?
Chapters that are completely broke and have no money in the bank account. And there's, you know, BNC is one of the better off ones, I'll say, but just from going around to different chapters, they are not all in the same financial situation, I'll say. And I think part of that goes back to some of the original, at the state conferences, have to have a reason for people to attend. Like, nobody wants to go and sit in meetings all day. Like, they need workshops. They need something that's going to attract people. Like, the board meetings, the average member could care less about. They don't want to hear it or see any of that stuff. So there's got to be an attractive reason to go there.
I feel like the board meetings could even be separate from the other activities that are going on. So if there's people there that are just there for, or are there as board members, they could go to the board meeting, but everyone else who isn't a board member could go off and do an activity or something.
So going back to our strategic planning, as part of that, though, I think that our hoojamajiggers.
Hoojamajiggers.
How did you guys switch up like that?
So, they did just switch, yes.
Yeah, so anyway, so going back to that as a you know, if a full unit, so we're looking at 3 to 4 events, and then I lost my train of thought when she moved. What were we just talking about?
Sponsoring people to go to the state level for events.
So typically that was always handled on each chapter's level because their budgets are different.
Yeah.
But, oh, there we go. Thank you. See, your voice did it. So workshops. I just think that was something, again, that I can remember back when Janet was president. She always had entertainment for us, and there was always workshops. Janet and Carolyn had tons of workshops, so we could choose from whatever. So we could go learn about our offices, positions, if that's what we wanted. We can go learn about some personal development. We can learn about investing. We can learn about all these little different things. So when it comes back to advocacy, you know, entrepreneurship, we should always have something about somebody trying to start a new business. What's your first steps? You know, and have them go to that so that when we're trying to get people to join, we're saying, you know, every quarter we have workshops on starting your business. So that's what we're known for, advocating for young people or people who now want to be their own boss to do that. So many of the things fell apart after 2009. Stephanie, I've owned my own business. I don't know if I want to say I own my own business, but I've been responsible for making my own paycheck for 27 years. Mm-hmm. So I understand, you know, when you say you're building a business and you need that help. And that's what was beneficial to me because I didn't go to school for business. So I sat in these crazy board meetings and watched them little cat fight a little bit, but I learned how to read the P&Ls and I learned how to do those things and I listened to their budgets and all that stuff, which I was running, you know, I didn't pay attention. I didn't need to do all the details because Patty worked for me. So she did all the details, but at least I could say, oh, I heard that before and it made sense because I listened to those things at those meetings. So I developed through being on, you know, boards and committees. So I get what you're saying there. So workshops and at least 4 events a year that could rally us around to bring us to some strategies of what we're going to do. And then we'll have, you know, the other people who make all the rules and make everything look sexy and, you know, all that rules stuff that I don't follow.
No, I agree. I think it's definitely today. And think about the people who are in your chapters, how many people you could get as speakers just from our membership. Everyone qualifies. We don't even need to look outside the organization to find speakers. And if people are willing to volunteer to do that speaking engagement, and we offer on a state level to pay for their room and board while they're there, and they can also go to the workshops, that's going to be really beneficial to us because we're utilizing our own family for that.
You know that, and Renee, you can pop in here. On our website, you can search the profiles of our members. So if you want someone to speak and you don't have anybody in your local and you need someone to speak on finance, tax preparation, entrepreneurship, starting your own business, there's a profile and you can put in a keyword and names will pop up from our membership. Now, sometimes it's trying to put a square peg in a round hole because not every skill or every background or every presentation lines exactly with what you want, but that's there. And I think I saw it the other day when I was navigating the website, we have a speakers bureau, Renee. How often is that updated?
It's up to the people to actually put their name and contact information and what topics they can speak on.
Does that come from the profile or that's a separate entry?
It's a separate entry. They have to be, you know, not everybody's willing to speak. So it's basically if you're willing to speak and you speak on a certain topic, you can put your name and information of the topic in there and people can go through it.
And I wonder how many people know they can do that or.
You know, it's something we did, I think back when I was president. Put it on there and, you know, we talked about it, but it's kind of been let go the last couple of years, I'll say. So it's probably.
That's when I put mine on when you told me, as when you were president and I came to the meeting, it was like, you should go into your profile and do this. Yep. And I was like, okay.
Okay. So
and that should be a topic of conversation at every state meeting, if that's the case. If someone said no, I mean, I would have done it if I had known it was there. Mm-hmm. But I think we just need to, you know, promote it a little bit more.
Okay, so if we bring this back in to the next thing that we needed to discuss is structure and governance. So
get rid of the regions.
Right, we're all in agreement that we need to do away with the regions.
Region director, we could keep a region, but we have the position of region director and region officers is...
There's no point in even having the structure there. It's not utilized. And, you know, even back when I was president, you would send something to the region directors with the assumption it was going, they were passing it on, and it never happened. It was like this brick wall that you hit all the time. So I think, like, the EC needs to communicate directly with the chapter presidents. You have an email address.
My next question. What is the actual duties of the president-elect and the vice president? So can they be, you know, can the, like, the regions, but there won't be regions anymore, but can the state be split between those two offices that they are the liaison between the state and half of the state or...
I don't even call it the liaison. It's just a point person if you have a question.
Right.
It's up to the president-elect to talk to liaison with the region directors. Okay, fine. So I don't see a reason to do away with the exact region separation because it gives someone an area that they belong to. But we've talked about this before where there's five officers. And there would be no reason why, and there's only 20 locals. And Stephanie, just to give you a little background, when we had over, 1,000 members, it was not possible for the locals, with so many more locals, to talk to the executive committee because there was a feeling they would be inundated with phone calls. But we only have 20 local chapters. We have five officers. There would be no problem with four locals talking to the different officers. And even if you did split it between the president-elect and the vice president, that's 10 apiece. That's not cumbersome.
As the president, the vice president has no real duties.
Membership.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, usually the president-elect is the one that's the liaison between the regions. Okay, so even if we do keep the regions, but there's no officers, there's no regional meetings.
Right.
So if the president-elect is the one that checks in on regions 2, 3, and 6, and then the president, the vice president is the one that checks in with 7 and 8. And I don't mean like, but I mean the chapters in those areas.
It wouldn't matter whether you wanted to assign the region to the officer or just divvy up the clubs, the locals, and say this five or whatever can report to the president-elect or this can, and the duties of the officers,
right?
I think are in the bylaws and they're in the MOI for sure, but I thought I saw that they were in the bylaws.
I'll chime in as bylaws chair. Yes, they are. Aside from bylaws chair, I want to make a suggestion because this is going to involve bylaw changes to our structure.
Right.
Which, if we separate the state, upstate and downstate, that we elect a representative upstate, downstate, as to be a member of the board and to be that liaison.
Thank you.
I lost you. I couldn't hear what you were saying.
I know, because the damn phone kept ringing. What I said was we divide the state upstate and downstate, and believe me, across New York State, there are 15 different descriptions of what's upstate and what's downstate. I'm just saying you draw a line at central New York, upstate, downstate, and we make our structure elect an annual representative to be the liaison instead of putting it through the EC. It's just a suggestion.
Well, that line centrally through Syracuse, there's so much more population south of that line than north of that line. And I would venture there's more locals south of that line than north of that line.
Well, you could do it, and you could actually bisect it four ways.
Well, even leaving it, even, you know, hoping that we would grow and that we would recreate the regions that we don't have any locals in now. Was it region one? What are you, Neil? Are you region one?
There is no region one.
Right. There is no region one. There was. There used to be.
Manhattan, yeah.
Well, we might need to resurrect it, and we might need to go back to the region directors because we will grow.
Okay.
Leaving them in the current region.
Bye-bye. Okay.
If a region wanted to have a director or a liaison, that's up to them, because there's some regions that work very well with that region director, that person, that liaison. But that's their structure. I mean, currently our New York State budget does have a line item, I believe, for region directors who want to visit their locals, and do some region networking. That could go away, and it's up to the region director whether there is a region director or not. They could decide that they want Region 7, Mary Ellen, and whoever could decide they want a region director. But that's their
right down, Paul.
That's right. They want to run their show. It might mean that Region 2 doesn't want a region director, or Region 5 doesn't want a region director. Those are operating very well on their own.
Well, I would think that it would have to be.
They may want a spokesperson. They may want, say, look, we'll have a spokesperson, but each one of those locals could contact one of the EC, or you could say the president-elect and the vice president. But
Jackie, may I interject on that?
Yeah, I'm done talking.
Well, could we just have each chapter president be the liaison to the state?
Sure can. That's why I said that the EC could be communicating directly with the local president. There were so many locals before, it would be too many phone calls to the five EC members. Now we only have 20 locals. That's not burdensome.
No.
Not at all.
Yeah. And I think we could do it.
And right. So that
you just have, you know, 10 locals report to the vice president, and 10 locals go to the president-elect.
When we first started talking about this, we weren't really talking about it in the context of somebody just reporting in. The whole conversation about this started when Jackie, Teresa actually, was relating to me about how Jackie was calling all the RDs and right. Keeping in touch with them on a monthly basis. So Jackie was like talking to each one pretty regularly, that she got to know what, I know I'm putting words in your mouth here, Jackie, but, you know, got to know what was going on in each region. So that constant contact was seen as beneficial. And that's why we started talking about, you know, do we need the region director? We just need somebody on a state level talking to you know, to each local. So, and as you were talking before about the different programs and stuff, I just saw a role for this person to be working with each of the locals on developing these different programs and the different initiatives, and really bringing it back to the EC so that the state could help in fostering all of these things. I just, and the reason I'm hesitating here is I'm just wondering if that person has too many chapters to do, would they really give those chapters the kind of contact and build that relationship? Would it be even possible for that person? You know, if they had like 4 or 5, maybe they can do it. Now you're talking 10 and one person would be
I think if you're going to have that responsibility, if you're going to accept that responsibility, you just need to know what you're getting into. And as long as they're prepared to do that and they accept that responsibility, then that's up to them.
I agree. This would have to be, you know, a couple of really special people that are willing to devote that kind of time, because that's a lot of conversations.
That's why we talked about the 5 EC members. So what? One is a treasurer. One is a secretary. Because sometimes there's treasury dues paying problems in a local. So, you know, yes, you could have the treasurer assigned to 5 locals and the secretary assigned to 5 locals. But anytime that somebody's got a dues problem, they could go right to the treasurer. There wouldn't be any.
Right, which was a point that I made.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, that's a point that I made when we were talking before, the 3 of us, Jackie, mm-hmm. Neil, and myself.
Yeah,
we need to utilize the board chairs, because we accept these chairs at the board level, but what do we do? Really, nothing.
Now wait a minute. You're talking about board chairs, or you're talking about EC?
No, but I'm talking about board chairs, standing chairs.
Or just even,
you know, like if a local has a bylaws question, they should be able to reach out to the bylaws chair.
And they have done it, and they have.
You know, and if they have a PPD question, they should be able to reach out to the PPD chair.
Yeah,
if they have a dues issue, they should be able to reach out to the state treasurer.
They don't have to go through a region director or a region treasurer to get their answer. There's just not a useful level anymore.
And I think if that relationship was built up between either, whether it's the EC members and the locals, then that brought in the chairs. That becomes one that they now are, they have a relationship with the state level. And I just think it would be really beneficial.
And I really feel that, because we're changing the mission to say connecting women, personally, professionally, and politically. And I think connecting, getting rid of the region level is connecting us closer together, connecting the locals to the state with a much tighter bond than having that other level in the middle.
And there's one other point I want to make. It's not just the local presidents connecting with the EC. Of course, it's the treasurer could call the state treasurer.
Right.
But don't forget the board members, like you just said. If we have a PPD program, a board member, the locals ought to be working with that PPD board member. That board member and her committee ought to be reaching out to the locals. What are you doing? What can I help you with? Now, I'm intrigued with this New York State Women in Business. I want to talk to Sue at some other point. Where's that committee? What did that committee do? That would be great to reinstitute it, reactivate it, and the locals would be reaching out to that board member to see what they could do. You talk about the state programs. The Nike does have a Women in History. During March, I believe they focus on Women in History. I believe in February they focused on the Black Women in History. In October, I don't know if they focus on Business Women's Week, but the Nike at the state level has been promoting what Shirley was just talking about. But the board members need the board, not just the EC, but the board members need to be in communication with the locals. And I don't think that's happening.
I agree.
Annie, can I chime in here as far as the plan goes? I want to understand this. Are we considering eliminating the regions and assigning chapters, a chapter link to a certain member of the EC?
Yeah.
Is that the consideration?
Yeah.
So that should go into our plan.
Yeah. Right. That's what we're considering, to changing the structure and the governance of the organization.
Yeah.
To eliminate the regions and have the locals be able to go have a direct liaison within the EC or a board member.
Now,
We need to make region offices, not the regions, because we'll always have the region. So the region offices positions.
Thank you. And you know, another thing, Stephanie, just to give you a little background, it's very frustrating for the regions to try and find officer candidates. And sometimes they don't have one, they don't have an active one, or they don't have a region meeting. Some of the members complain because we don't have a region meeting. Nobody needs to belong to an organization where you have that kind of level of frustration. We don't need...
I understand. It's going to be difficult because if you are someone who wants to be, you know, eventually going to the state level, or if someone, and you feel like the region is the next step, and then you don't do anything on the region level, then it's a bit discouraging, I would imagine.
Now, but Stephanie, if you knew, if you were familiar and had a relationship with one of the EC members, wouldn't you feel comfortable wanting to take that job?
You I would feel more comfortable. I mean, yeah, I would be more comfortable being, you know, when you say EC, do you mean at the state level?
The state level. Okay. Yeah, the state.
I wasn't sure. Okay.
If you had developed a relationship with them.
Yeah, then you could understand a little bit better where they're at and if you would be wanting to do something on that level too. So I think it would be beneficial. I mean, I think as... I mean, I would eventually like to help at the state level in the future, just me personally, but I'm just not there yet. But it's one of those things, like, if you know people on that level and you know that they also have a passion for it, and for them to pass on that passion for it, then it's definitely something that could be beneficial.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say my phone, I didn't realize how low it was on my percentage, so I might have to cut my visit short. But I want to let you guys all know that I am, you know, I would love to see this organization thrive, and I know it can. I just know that we're just going to have to put our heads together to figure out how we can.
Well, thanks so much for coming tonight.
Thank you guys so much for having me, and thanks Excellent. For picking my brain, and thank you for listening.
I don't like young people.
Nobody does. Everyone hates us. But like I said before, we're not generalized.
Well, we'll have Renee keep you in the loop on when we have meetings, and when you're able to and free and want to join us, you're more than welcome.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Stephanie.
It was great meeting you.
Thanks, Casey. Great meeting you guys.
Nice.
Have a great night, okay?
You too.
Stay safe. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So I have a quick question, because eliminating regional positions changes our budget in that we have regional directors and assistant directors that receive stipends for attending board meetings three times a year when we actually have physical board meetings. And we're talking about trying to come up with money to help chapters be able to send somebody to a state meeting who might not otherwise get to go to a state meeting. It seems like we're trying to put perhaps more emphasis on committees that may not be doing as much, or maybe everybody on the committee isn't involved at the board, our standing board committees and so on. So it sounds to me like we're trying to change the structure from taking out the regional people and maybe giving more credence to our committee, our board committees. Is that what we would like to do, to have them be more active and people move from the state, from the local level to being a committee member on one of the boards and then moving up to a board position and then moving up to an EC position or something like that? Is that kind of part of the restructuring as you see it or not?
I don't understand the other level there. You said moving up to a committee on the board. I mean, what?
Right now we have a lot of standing board positions, a lot of committees that were throughout the year, which would all stay. But we'd want people to move then from being on a local level to try to encourage them to come to a state meeting, and we might be able to allocate funds towards each of the chapters, maybe sending one person instead of us funding all the regional directors that we wouldn't have to fund anymore. Maybe we could figure out in the budget process how to let at least one chapter, because I know a lot of chapters like ours wouldn't be able to, we can't fund our people going up that are even on the boards or anything. So to be able to get chapter people more involved in our state level, and then once they get to the state level, encouraging them to be on some of the committees, whether it's PPD or whether it's nominations or whether it's, you know, no matter what the committee bylaws, no matter what the committee might be, to serve on those committees and play an active role in the organization. Would that be strengthening us in your opinion?
I think it would be strengthening us because I don't think your committees, it's hard to even get people to serve on the committees.
I know, but
you know,
getting...
So, I mean, at least if we take out the one piece and then if we can get more people involved at the state level and they see how things are going, then maybe it will increase our people wanting to sit and get involved. And
well, that's kind of what I was, looking towards.
Yeah. I also see, you know, again, the role of the EC members that are contacting the locals, if they, you know, really, and we're asking them to put in the time, a lot of time here and effort, but if they do that, they will generate that interest in the locals just by talking to them on a monthly basis and keeping up with them. I do think they would be generating a lot more interest, you know, from the locals.
And that might be done as a Zoom meeting. It might not be done one-on-one. It might be done as a general meeting to everyone and then scheduling some one-on-one conferences.
As long as there's a constant communication there, I do think that generates the interest, yeah.
And I would like to suggest, and when we're redoing the structure, that we put in there that, you know, all, like, committee meetings can be held via Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may get people want to be more involved on these committees if they can, you know, be a part of the planning process for the individual positions, but don't have to go anywhere to do it. You know, like we've done all our meetings for the strategic planning via Zoom. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we all committees ought to be able to just handle their committee business via Zoom.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to make an observation. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. In eliminating the region positions, you're talking about altering the board of directors.
Yes.
And the board of directors serves as a voice for the chapters within the regions. Would you consider then making all the chapters a part of the board of directors, that therefore you're expanding it, you know, twice as big? Maybe you don't need a formal structure of a director and an assistant director and a secretary and a treasurer, but maybe you need just a liaison, someone that the chapters can go to locally to kind of resolve any questions or get instructions. Certainly, the chapters shouldn't be precluded from contacting a state office. I don't think that was ever incorporated in any of the instructions. You know, they should be made aware that they could go anywhere for guidance, but I think eliminating the region representative eliminates the voice that the chapters have on the board of directors, and it puts too much of a burden on the executive officers. What if there's a difference of opinion from one chapter to the other, and it'll tear that officer apart? How is she going to vote on an issue if she knows that one chapter or one region is positive and the other is negative? It's difficult. I think we need to hear that discussion on the board of directors.
And I want to chime in as bylaws chair, if I can.
Yeah, I'm finished.
Chime in?
Yeah.
Okay. Pat's right. You're going to alter the board of directors, and I'd like to take it back to where, you know, we divide the state somehow down the middle, across the lower central, and we put two board members as representatives of the chapters, rather than putting every chapter president on the board. I don't see that as a good way to do it. And we have to figure out, this committee's got to figure out a way to alter the board of directors to accomplish everything.
So then maybe, like I said that before, that we don't, it's not an officer, but we need a liaison at the region level. Just somebody, if nothing else, they serve as the board seat for the region. That way we're not restructuring the board. Mm-hmm. There's one person that sits for each region at the board meetings that has a voice for their entire region.
But if we're having trouble finding region directors, and we certainly are, because I think if we looked across the, you know, the spectrum there, there are, I don't know that there's any new unrecycled region directors. I don't know if there is. You know, is there anybody that's brand new that's never done it before?
Yeah, Region 6 has one.
So you've changed the name. You're not calling them a region director, but you're still looking for, whether it's Sue's, you know, quarter, and you got four people or two people, you're still looking for these people that don't want this job anymore. So I don't, you know.
What is the proposition then to what do we do with the board of directors? Because now we're eliminating five positions on the board.
Yeah, and that is an issue, because that's been the issue, like every time, even when we reduced the number of regions, the big outcry was less member votes on the board, because then it was all state leveled, you know, assignments, or you know, when the president picked the chairs, that they got a vote, the standing chairs got a voting position. And the more votes that came in that way, as opposed to the region directors, which were elected directly by the members, there was always an outcry. So I expect that to happen. But hopefully times have changed, and giving the local that direct voice to that EC member will substitute for losing that vote. I don't know if it would or not, yeah, but I'm hoping it would.
I just think that as the president-elect and vice president, but Jackie covered it all by herself before, right? So
she covered the region directors, so that's six.
Right.
Covered six people.
So if she covered six, so there's 10, there's 20, so it's 10 and 10. So between that position and president-elect and vice president, that becomes their duties,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that, Pat, when you said that, you know, no one ever said, it wasn't written anywhere that, you know, you can't connect to those people. No, it wasn't written, but you have to understand, coming into a group of women who had established this organization, you ladies were fierce and you followed every rule. I'll never forget how strict they were about voting and in and out and all this stuff. You were petrified. So that EC, I have to tell you, until I became a regional director, I never went past them. How dare me think to go past them to get to the piranhas?
Yeah. I felt the same way.
So
yeah, I think we all did.
And we have to, I hate to say this word, I don't know a better word, but we have to dumb it down a little bit right now. We're just too rigid. And that's why people come to our meetings. I had a couple of years ago, I had someone come to our local meetings, and they're great group of women, but they follow a rule. You know, Pat Hendrickson is like, boom, 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 boom. And they're like, oh my God, I came here for dinner and to meet some women. So we're so rigid and structured that we scare people away, and we want people in, and we want to help them, and we want women to grow and empower them and connect. We're not connecting if we want you to use a number 2 pencil and put an X instead of a dot. So sometimes we have to tone it down a little to make it warm and fuzzy. And technically, when you come to our board meetings, we are not warm and fuzzy.
No. No.
So that's a culture we have to change as times change. We have to change that culture. And so when we have all these layers, all we're doing is building walls So people are like, wow, to get all the way up there to the executive committee, I've got to do this. Meanwhile, you just tap one of us on the shoulder and say, I got a problem.
Yeah.
So I think that putting that in the structure, you know, I don't know the rules and laws, but that the vice president and president-elect, between, no matter what, if we have 20, we have 20. If 21, someone else picks up the other. If 22, then it's 1-1. But I think that's just the smoothest way for now. We can revamp it once we get big again, and we need these rules. But right now, we're so rigid. I beg of you to think of calming some of that down.
Okay, so now we're like closing in on an hour and a half. So I don't want to keep everybody, you know, any longer. So we've covered a lot of ground. So we're looking at doing away with the regions.
Region officers.
Region officers and region meetings, and getting more connectivity between the state EC and the locals. And so the next thing we need to work on, so people can think about this, and you know, you're free to email me input if you'd like, in between. So the next thing that we're gonna need to discuss is how we're gonna handle the board of directors, and any other input that you have towards structure, and when do we wanna meet next?
Eddie?
Yes.
If you could put in the communicator, because we need a little input, I think, from everybody else, besides our little group, that we're thinking, you know, what would you like the board of directors to look like? I think just a little blurb in the communicator about what we've done and what we'd like to hear from the general population.
I don't know if the communicator is the, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, it just, this is my opinion. means nothing. Patty was going to talk, she was going to introduce this at the spring board, I guess it was, right? And given the structure of the spring board, it was just not conducive. It was kind of like this, something like this has to be presented delicately, I think, or it can turn very negative.
Well said.
I don't think the communicator is the right place for that.
Well said.
That's why it's going to be brought up. I believe we were going to discuss it under new business at the state conference, state conference on the 13th of June.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. If we want to be cute, we could just put in something to say, excited about, you know, some of the new developments and implementations that we're looking forward to grow this organization. Despite all the changes, we've had time to really think about where we're taking ourselves to the next level. So people start saying, ooh, what are they thinking? Maybe it'll promote them to come to come to the event so they can hear, because people don't like change. So if they think we're changing, they might come along. So more
there you go, Shirley. So send me something in an email. Okay. On what to have Robin put in the communicator.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Me and my big mouth. Open mouth, insert foot.
Yeah. That really, Shirley, yeah.
Yeah, because that, like you said, that will maybe that'll encourage people to register
and come to hear what we're going to discuss. Drop little breadcrumbs so they don't say, you didn't tell us, you didn't come.
Now, Patty, have we discussed the PPD program, the revisions? Have we talked about that at all?
No, because everybody felt we needed to do mission, then vision, then structure.
Okay.
And then once we get the structure, then next time we can start on PPD and then so forth and so on.
Okay. So I specifically asked that because it was on the agenda, but in trying to find people to chair committees for the next year, I know you're going to do, you're running for the treasurer and you're going to be the strategic plan chair. Do you have any idea of what I should do for the PPD? Should I have a chair? Do you want to be chair? Should I get a chair? Is there someone in this group that wants to be the chair? Because we don't know what it's going to look like.
Yeah, I can't be the chair because I can't have two board seats.
That's too much.
You can't have two votes. You're right.
Right.
Great. So, what do you? I've got two past presidents here. What do you? Or three, if Renee's still there. What do you think I should do for a PPD chair?
Okay, I'm going to chime in. I think you should put it on hold for next year. All this structural change is going to take us a year or more.
And with everything going on, you don't know what's going to happen with chapter meetings and stuff. Right. It's just a good time to pause it regroup next year on it.
Thank you very much. I just needed that advice. That's what I thought. Thank you.
Don't you need a chair to have a board seat?
There is no board seat.
Yeah, just leave it empty for now.
Yeah, I would put it on pause, like Renee said.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
You can put the program on pause, but why give up a vote?
That's what I'm saying. So you got to have somebody that's willing to sit as the chair to have a board vote.
They're going to vote. What are they voting on behalf of? Not the program.
Well, the good of the organization, you know.
They still have a voting voice in the organization.
Right, the whole governance of the organization.
Yeah. You could have somebody that normally comes to meetings just sit in that place for voting purposes.
And they might even start working on, you know, the revision.
Anybody got any suggestions from people you know?
Robin Allen?
You have a 10-year-old that's very amused by you guys.
You can tell her that I threw her name under the bus too.
I saw what you were doing.
Okay, Robin Allen. Okay. What are you laughing at?
I said you have this is normally a time I talk to the kids, so you have my 10-year-old nieces laughing at all of you guys on the screen.
She's
she couldn't understand what I meant when I said I was on Zoom with a whole bunch of ladies. She's like, what?
Do you have the rest of your chairs filled?
I've been trying to get a hold of Linda Winston, and she doesn't answer the phone or an email.
She's at the her cottage or
at
whatever.
At her lake.
Yeah, she's at the lake already.
Well, her husband gave me her cell phone, and she doesn't get, what's the email? Swins?
Yep.
That's what I used, was Swins.
On Facebook, and she's on Facebook. Just tell her to contact you.
Yeah, I was a friend of hers. Maybe I'm not anymore. Okay. And Pauline Hoffman doesn't return phone calls, and I'm really wondering about marketing and PR, whether we need that, because where did you say, Renee, is it you? Who has all the information?
That for marketing and social media is me.
Yeah, you've got the rat cards.
No, actually, Robin has those. She created new ones.
All right.
I've got the old ones, but she created new ones.
All right, but the rat cards and the business cards that we used to have, where's all
business
that?
Business cards were me. I've got those.
So, and we've got our logo. That's all on the website.
Yep.
And I mean, to be perfectly honest, Pauline doesn't come to any meetings. I mean, there's
she's not going to be involved. She's kind of checked out of BNC too. So she's not going to be involved.
I don't even know if she's an active member, because I think I looked at
All right. She's not. Yeah, she's
okay.
Pretty much done.
But as far as the social media, I want to ask one of the ladies from the Bath Club. She's a techie, and I want to put Mary Kay Taylor on the social media.
I'll just need to know so I can add them.
Yeah, yeah. But Robin Allen, I'll ask her if she'll be PPD director. Chair, thank you. But she was going to be the career recognition chair. Can't she be both?
She can be both. The CR, she would just be replacing herself.
Yep. Thank you very much. Linda Winston. All right, I'll try getting her on Facebook. All right. I'm not going to do an incorporation committee. I'm going to ask her if she'll be the nominations chair again next year.
As far as nominations chair, Neil, back me up here. That's not a conference, right? We do a nominating committee. Well, you appoint how many? Three?
Four appointed by me, and then three are elected, and then there's two alternates.
Right. They select the chair.
That's done at conference.
And they select the chair.
Yeah, but I can line the appointed ones up before. Right.
Yeah, but you can't appoint the chair. You said you were going to appoint the chair.
Right. It says I can. It says
No, they're elected. No, the committee selects the chair.
Oh, you appoint two people. I appoint two people. Okay, yes. All right. Thank you for that. Historian, I was going to ask Linda if she would stay on. Who writes the history of the president?
Whoever you pick.
So who did Robin pick to write her history? Okay.
Know.
All right.
That was an interesting face, Renee.
I was trying to figure out who I muted by accident. I was trying to unmute myself.
State Women in Business Month.
Where are you? Okay.
Madam Chair.
Hmm?
New York State Women in Business Month. It's right here in the leadership directory, and there's no chair. Nothing's been done. Right.
A lot of
that's up to the president.
Yeah, because even, I was going to say, the historian, we haven't done in the last couple of years.
And that's up to the president. The president picks all those people, and if they don't, if it's not a priority, they don't pick one. That's all.
So. That one ought to be on hold, too, because until we see what the strategic plan does. All right. So I'm good. I've got a spreadsheet that Robin gave me. Renee, were you going to send me a spreadsheet? But she sent me one, too, to work on.
I don't think I have a spreadsheet. Was I supposed to send you something?
A spreadsheet to list the committee, the chairs, their phone numbers, the blah, blah, blahs.
That's a Word document, the leadership directory.
Yeah, but she said you actually create it by putting it in a spreadsheet.
No, I don't put anything in a spreadsheet. I think she's talking about the listservs. I redo the listservs every year once you pick your leadership team.
No, that wasn't what we were talking about, no.
Okay, and I don't do anything with spreadsheets.
So, all right, we'll talk offline. All right, okay. Thank you.
So when do we want to meet again?
When would you like to meet, Patty?
I'm trying to open.
Well, the June conference is the 13th. It's a month away.
So do we want to try to meet again next week sometime?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
No good on Wednesday and Thursday. I'm teaching those two nights.
Yeah, I can't do Wednesdays.
Want to do Tuesday?
Sure.
The 12th?
The 19th?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We have an EC on this Tuesday. Yeah. That's good. Okay.
~7:00 Yep. Renee, will you set that up? 7:00 on the 19th.
Yep, that's fine.
Thank you. Yep, good.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate your time, ladies. It was a very productive evening, and thank you, Renee, for bringing Stephanie.
No problem.
Yep.
I'm going to send you my bill.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to bring that up.
Hang on.
If we're talking about bills, and we did go over 40 minutes.
I've got a professional account, so it doesn't matter.
Are you paying this out of your pocket, though?
I'm using it for my business and all my other groups. So it's like $15 a month. And as soon as this all started, I got it because I've got so many group meetings like this. Yeah, it's a requirement for me for business, so.
All right. Well, thank you, Renee.
You can use it as much as you would like.
Thank you, Renee.
Thanks. No problem. This is how we play bingo with the whole family now, so we got to have it.
You better invite me to that bingo game.
Oh, that's what she wants. She's like, can we play bingo now? I'm like, well, I'm using my Zoom account, and Grandma's probably not at her computer either. So I'm like, this needs to be tomorrow. Yeah.
Good night.
Night.
Good night. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.